From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. 44 years ago tomorrow, Herb Clutter, his wife Bonnie, and their two children were brutally murdered in their home in Holcomb, Kansas. Richard Hickok and Perry Smith were convicted of the crime. Writer Truman Capote turned the story into his nonfiction novel, In Cold Blood. Now people in Kansas are debating whether to put objects relating to the crime on display in a museum. Harriet Baskis reports.
Mount Muncie is a well-maintained cemetery in Lansing, Kansas. Narrow, winding roads pass family plots reaching back generations.
It's nice, peaceful, sloping to the east, pretty trees around. It's a nice place to be buried.
Superintendent Victor Young points out that the cemetery is near Lansing State Penitentiary. In the past, prisoners who died there were often buried here. That includes Richard Hickok and Perry Smith. Hickok and Smith were hanged in April 1965. Their low granite headstones sit side by side in Section 34 at Mount Muncie. But instead of being set on the ground, these are set in concrete slabs. Victor Young says that's because in 1980, the original headstones, paid for by Truman Capote, disappeared.
The day we found they was gone, they was replaced that day. If somebody steals these, they're going to have to work hours to get them out of here.
Young says the cemetery didn't want publicity, so no police report was filed. But the Kansas Bureau of Investigation took note. It was KBI agents who first cracked the Clutter case. So in December 2000, when Agent Tom Williams learned that the headstones might be in his own town, Iola, he sprung into action. But it turned out that pretty much everyone, even his wife, already knew where the stones were.
She said, "Oh yeah, I've heard that story for years." So I may have been the last one in Iola to know that they were out there.
There was in Alan Ard's yard. Ard says a friend of his stole the markers.
They weren't set in concrete or anything, just picked them up and put them in his car and drove off. I thought it was neat, other than the fact that he was stealing the stuff.
The headstone sat in his buddy's living room until he left town and gave them to Ard.
I just set them in front of the door, one of my sheds, used them for steps going into the shed.
To reclaim the stones, KBI agent Tom Williams had to dig them out of the frozen ground.
We used crowbars. In fact, we bent one crowbar, but we were able to dig them up and get them out. Then I was stuck with him.
He had stolen property, but no case.
John White is a retired district judge from Allen County, Kansas. He says normally stolen property gets returned to the owner, but because this property had never been reported missing, and even if it had, the statute of limitations had expired, the tombstones ended up in his courtroom.
The Cemetery Association did not have ownership. Mr. Ard, who had possession, knew that they were stolen.
Judge White says he didn't want to see the stones on eBay, so he ruled that they should either be put back on the graves or given to the Kansas Museum of History for safekeeping.
There's a security guard right across the hallway from the doors to our storage area. Now we just have to wait for him to authorize us to go in. Okay, we got the thumbs up sign.
Rebecca Martin is the assistant director for the Kansas Museum of History in Topeka. She says when the museum first got the markers, they were put on display in the museum's What's New section.
Everybody had learned they'd come to us, and people were clamoring to see them.
Not everybody. Many people in and around Holcomb, where the Clutters were murdered, were upset. And not just because there was new publicity for the murderers. Mary Regan, director of the Finney County Historical Society, says it was also because many people were still mourning the Clutters.
These were community members. These were neighbors of ours. It is not something we want to see notarized in any way, and I believe the feelings and the effect upon a community has to be taken into account. We just have to wait for that generation to pass on who were directly involved with members of that family.
So Regan and others were relieved when the headstones, no longer What's New at the museum, were put in storage. Rebecca Martin says the Kansas Museum of History doesn't want to sensationalize crime.
However, we understand that we have a public out there who wants to see the stones, and we have a responsibility to meet those needs as well.
Martin says a crime and punishment exhibition, including the trap door and other pieces of the gallows used to hang Hickok and Smith, is being planned. Alan Ard thinks that's a fine idea.
If it happened, it's history. To me, there's not good history or bad history or history you show and history you hide. It's all history. why not display them, or why have them if you're not going to?
Both Judge John White and now retired KBI agent Tom Williams agree. They believe a crime and punishment exhibition might encourage people to think about the death penalty in Kansas.
I admit to my curiosity of seeing a gallows for the first time, for seeing the trap door. I hope that curiosity isn't just strictly a morbid curiosity, but is a curiosity because of how we did things in carrying out capital punishment many years ago.
Maybe that's what it should be, people coming in and looking at things and discussing things and deciding for themselves what's right and what's wrong.
For now, the Kansas Museum of History includes images of the stored tombstones and the gallows on its website. But hits to the site seem to indicate that right now, people are more interested in looking at pictures of tornadoes. For NPR News, I'm Harriet Baskis.